It's time for What's Up with Opposition Deputy Leader Paula Bennett.
The OpDep PB, happy birthday to you.
Oh, thanks, Mikey. I'm a bit croaky, I've got to be honest.
Birthday celebrations?
Yeah, a little bit of champagne.
Tie went on.
Karaoke, you know, bit late.
Still though, it's a special occasion, isn't it? It's your birthday.
It's 50, mate. 50.
50. 50, eh? 50, eh? Did you ever think?
I didn't think I'd make it to 50, let alone accomplish a couple of things.
Hey, how are you, Paula Bennett?
Yeah, I'm really good.
Good. Thank you. How's the party? How's the opposition? I must say the opposition, I said to you, good year old cobber, Chris Penk. I said I've been very impressed with the way that, of course, the way that the government have handled the Christchurch terror attack, but also the way that the opposition and you know your side of the house have handled it as well. I think there's been some very considered, thoughtful responses from everybody, and I think it's been quite phenomenal. I mean, it's obviously phenomenal what's happened here in New Zealand.
Look, within half an hour of the attacks, Simon and I were talking on the phone. Of course, in that initial conversation, it was just the disbelief and horror, and you know what I mean? Like, reach out to people you know, and you sort of, so it was obviously just in that sort of vein. And then, you know, kind of like within another hour, we're talking again. And, you know, Simon just blatantly said, you know, this is when we leave space for the government to lead and the Prime Minister, you know, in these initial, you know, like who knows what it looks like in even a day or 2 days' time at that point, you know what I mean? But we made a considered decision that this is actually not a time for opposition, this is a time for the country to come together, and that certainly she is the Prime Minister, it is her role, not ours, and that we should leave the space for that and do that. And then, of course, over those other upcoming weeks,
Having said that, though, you guys were available. I know that you guys made yourselves perfectly available and offered everything you could. You know,
Simon went down on the Saturday, you know, after the Friday attacks. He has been, you know, as constructive as we could be on the issues that we know that matter to New Zealanders. And we've been, as you say, we all had our own electorates with mosques in it and people grieving, and so we had our own mini leadership roles within our electorate.
Yeah, because I mean, as much as it was about the victims, it's affected everybody so profoundly, didn't it? Throughout the whole country, every single New Zealander. I don't think the one that wasn't. I want to put something to you, and it might seem like this. I'm not just blowing the Jacinda trumpet here. I just want to put something to you, though. I think the way that this has all played out and has demonstrated to us in New Zealand and the world that there is a different way of doing things. You know, I think the way things have been done, we've done things a little bit differently. There's certainly a lot more empathy and, like I said, much more considered, sort of across the board. This is not a pro government thing. This is just something looking as you guys as the opposition. You know, you've had your report come back with the culture of the National Party thing, which is don't talk about it yet. That's fine, but that's come back. We've had things. The National Party's had issues in the last say year, where things like transparency and I guess. You know, people questioning just how genuine the thinking is about certain topics in the National Party. You know, the latest one being, of course, the emotional staffer thing, which was whatever the reality of that is, it doesn't sound great because it doesn't sound genuine, I don't think. And I wonder whether the National Party are looking at the way that the government have handled this, Jacinda's handled this, the Prime Minister's handled this, and gleaning from that, maybe because what's happened is we've done it a different way and it's worked, and it's worked better than in a myriad of other cases in recent history. Are you guys gleaning anything from that about the way to do politics in the future?
Yes, I suppose what I would say to you.
I'm not saying copy, I'm just, yeah.
No, it's cool. I would say to you that actually we are the opposite, and we've seen a different leadership under Simon in the last sort of 14, 15 months that has been. And in many respects for him, that has been about open and transparent, right? So you can argue the merits of what went down within the National Party last year, and trust me, everyone does, and in their different ways they did. But actually, we decided that we were going to front it, and there was acceptable behaviour and there was unacceptable, and that we weren't going to pretend it wasn't happening. We weren't going to brush it under the table. We were going to do something about it. Now, whether our response is always perfect, we're a huge party with over 20,000 members, with a whole lot of volunteers.
And the young nets.
We're constantly looking at ourselves, how we do things, and how we can improve them. And as far as some of those really interesting issues that now raise themselves, the Me Too movement and everything else, we are in them at two and have absolutely no tolerance for anything that we can see that is either demeaning or unsafe and is creating that kind of workplace. And so I would argue strongly that we have already rebuilt our culture. We're already in a different place. And the fact that it looks a little bit messy occasionally from outside, that's because actually we're confronting it, not hiding it, and we're doing something about it. And I think we have a great culture within our party. I always say to people, I don't experience sexism. I don't experience that. But then I have to acknowledge I'm also the...
There has been a review into it. Then it's, yeah.
Well, and I'm in a very senior role, and so that's easy for me to say. You know what I mean? Like, who'd take me on, eh? You wouldn't take me on, would
Hell
you?
No. Hell no.
Hell no.
Fire
and it could be, and it could be very different for, a staffer or for a more junior member of parliament. So I really do get that. But we all have a role to make this place better. We all have a role to actually do things differently than we might have even 10 years ago, and no one knows that better than the National Party.
Right, cool. Now, although you do have a few concerns with the gun laws, which by all accounts are going to be pushed through by Thursday.
Look, I'm personally not that worried about the speed of that. I actually do think that is really why muck around. We have had enough reports in the past. The public have had enough say. In the light of what we're dealing with, I just think that we're in the right space and we will be voting for it. But some of those concerns are around what a buyback scheme does look like. You can't make something illegal and then not have it very clear for people as to how they're going to be able to hand those guns in and what compensation they will get. So I think that needs to be done with haste from the government. And
but, I mean, they're not going to not get to that, are they? And there's not going to be a situation where everyone goes, well, I don't know if that's fair, so let's just let everyone have the guns.
Well, how much it is. Do you those that sell guns as well? If you've bought a $4,000 gun, are you going to get $4,000 back?
Just off the record.
Just between you and me.
What are you buying a $4,000 gun for? Like, seriously, what are you buying a $4,000 gun for? We're not talking about 10 or 20 people. We're talking about thousands of people. Thousands and thousands and thousands of New Zealanders have apparently got these weapons.
Yeah, well, look, that's fine for you.
What the? Ha ha.
It's fine for you, City Slicker, but there's some people out there that are into pest control and hunting. Look, I'm not going to defend them, but yes, they
just. I don't know. I don't know if before this has happened, whether if you did a round, hands up, everyone who's into pest control. Like, there's people who do it. And I've heard reports. Yeah, but I've heard reports.
Well, why do you buy a $40,000 car when
it's a completely different thing? Cars are not. This is that's Paula Bennett. Well, you must have maybe still be a bit tired from your birthday party. That's the weakest argument of that people are using.
I think you're judging it on how much money they're spending.
No, I'm judging it on.
That's not relevant.
I'm judging it on the reason why so many thousand New Zealanders, because I'm not a gun guy, but and I know that you've been quite. You've been involved in this in years past. You've been, you've talked about this. You've been sort of the National Party, face for discussing these issues.
I do support hunting and fishing and outdoor activities.
Same.
And actually, and some of our farming. And
yeah. No, I think you've missed my
problem. I don't think you're listening to mine.
I don't know why you need to. Why do you need to slaughter? Why do you have to make the argument that say that there's? I need. What if there's 200 goats? If there's 200 goats, they're worth millions of dollars. You're not going to kill them for a start. The only thing you're going to kill en masse is rabbits or geese, basically, in New Zealand.
Mikey, I'm voting in favour of getting rid of those guns.
I know. This is. I'm not arguing with you. I'm so confused about why so many people would have these guns for a start. Before you worry about buying them back, I mean, it weirds me out.
Yeah. But look, we're all saying we don't want them. We're voting for it. We're being constructive, not obstructive.
No, I'm not.
We want to make sure that there is also, if you are all of a sudden making something illegal, then there does have to be, I believe, some form of fair compensation, because people, whether you think they should have and whether you think there's too many, that's completely your right. But actually,
no, I totally agree with you about the compensation. Absolutely, I think that's fair enough. I just thought maybe you might be able to give us some insight as to why so many, because you have, it's my first sort of foray into the gun world, you know. But I know that somebody who, I've got a friend of mine who is in advertising, and I'm fascinated by how much money is spent advertising them as well in New Zealand. It's a huge amount of money.
I just do know people that love their sport, that love going out there and doing it, and I don't always understand it either, but I think that, you know, it was legal, they weren't hurting anybody, and they had a right to go and do it. And if we're changing those rules on them, which is fair enough in the wake of what we're where the country's at now, then we just do need to make sure that we're going through the right process to do that.
And then, and so what would be the ideal process as far as the National Party see it? Regarding the buyback? So
yeah, well, certainly. Well, I do believe that dealers should be compensated as well. They can't return them, they can't sell them, and it's their business. And whether you like their business or not, it's a legitimate one, and it's one that thousands of New Zealanders support. So I think they do need to be thinking about that. And the government have said that they won't be. Well, that's really unfairly treating business, I believe. And yeah, I think it's going to be really tough to work out. Is it? What is fair compensation? Is it the value of them now?
Can you just go back and explain what the reason was to compensate the dealers?
Well, because they will have product that they now cannot return, so they can't, and they cannot sell it. So they are stuck with, when they bought these just on sale, they now can't do that. So should there be some sort of business compensation to them as well?
Yeah, I guess that depends on how many they've got and on sort of how much stock they're holding. Excuse the pun. The feeling throughout the country is quite special and quite interesting at the moment. The Anzac Day issue, is that worrying the National Party at all? You're the National Party, Party.
Well, we love Anzac Day commemorations, and it is a really special time for the country. And I've loved that we've seen, more people come out and be part of that. And it's nothing quite like being there at 5:30 in the morning and seeing children there for the first time, and they're kind of being children, and then all of a sudden they get the sincere and the solemn, experience as well. And it's a kind of special, and you can see it stick with them for years to come. My own 18-year-old, I know her being involved in the last 2 or 3 years, she talks about that quite a lot, and what that means to her. So I think that's really special. Then I do appreciate that we're now in a different time, and we're at a high risk still, and so we have to.
And the police have been run ragged.
Yeah, and I'm sure those people are really thinking about what safety, looks like. Look, I'm not the expert. I hope that we can give the day the due that it deserves. But I do appreciate that there will be some security issues too.
All right. Very quickly before you go, the cannabis referendum. That's going to come around in a flash, isn't it?
Yeah, so
You've got some issues that you've been throwing at the Prime Minister about that?
You know it, man. I am really, really building up in this area because I think it's fascinating, and it's kind of almost something that's really interesting to me as to where we're going to go as a country and how we do that, I wish we were having a discussion and a debate about decriminalisation, because I reckon that a lot of other countries, it's the first step they took, and I personally would love to see more in addiction services, rehabilitation, education of our teenagers, so that we can really work with them there. But we're leaping straight to legalisation and discussing that, and it's very different.
I was under the impression that we're leaping to legalisation alongside all that stuff. That stuff was coming with us on the leap.
We're not having the debate about what decriminalisation looks like. We're not debating how many rehabilitation schemes there should be. We're not debating what Portugal does, when they have a health response where there's a whole separate panel of health experts that go through that. We don't know whether they will be spending on education programs that really goes through it. There's just so much unknown that it genuinely worries me.
I interviewed a guy, it would be almost 18, 19 years ago now, on a TV show I did, who was the former, he was the head of the drug squad in Scotland Yard for something like 18 years. and he and you know, so he was obviously Scotland. Yeah, that's the big one. And then and you know, he was he now travels the world. Like when I interviewed him, he, you know, he a super decorated English policeman, and he travels the world saying it's just got to you've just got to decriminalise it. You've just got to legalise it. And yeah, and that was that long ago. And the argument is just this. It was his argument was exactly the same as the argument that we're talking about nowadays. So it's just you wonder how much longer you have to drag the chain on it, and so we can get on to dealing with something that might be a bit more worrying, like, say, child poverty.
Well, we've got to know what it looks like. Actually, you've got to be careful that this isn't leading to more child poverty, that that we see an increase or a few people making a lot of money
Fair point.
Those people that are making a lot of money out of it, actually, they generally go and sell more of it in poorer areas. Is it going to be a commercialised product? So is it like big tobacco where they're encouraging more people to smoke it? Or consume it in different ways and younger so that they can get them hooked, so that they, you know, and what does commercialisation look like, or should the state be growing and selling it? You know, there's just some really big, important questions in there that aren't even being asked, and that's what worries me. So I don't give a damn about smoking marijuana, and I actually agree that people shouldn't be criminalised. I don't want to see people getting bloody or worrying about that stuff, and what a waste of the justice system, and what a waste of them and their lives, and that they've then got a criminal conviction for something ridiculous, you know. So I'm all with you there, but I want to make sure that we are really looking at, so, you know, what is a commercialised product? I mean, the way you make money, Mikey, is if you're selling something, is you get more people actually consuming it in bigger numbers.
We're not necessarily talking about the commercialisation of it, we're talking about the legalisation of it, aren't we?
Well, we are, because when it's legalised, how is it sold?
I suppose
and who sells it?
All right, well, you keep asking. Save your voice for the Prime Minister, so you can ask those questions to the Prime Minister. But, Paula Bennett, I'd like you to have a wonderful 50th year. and we'll speak to you again on BFM Breakfast very shortly.
Yeah, thanks, Pete.
See you later, bye-bye.
That was What's Up with Opposition Deputy Leader Paula Bennett.